turning to Genesis chapter 1 and remain standing for his word. And this morning we're going to again speak from Brother Branham's sermon called The Masterpiece. But before we begin, I would like to read from Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2 to get a background for the things that Brother Branham will tell us in paragraphs 39 through 49. In reading from Genesis chapter 1 and verse 20, "And God said, Let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life, and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. And God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind, and God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the seas, and let fowl multiply in the earth. And the evening and the morning were the fifth day. And God said, Let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, and creeping things and beasts of the earth after his kind, and it was so. And God made the beasts of the earth after his kind, and cattle after their kind, and every living thing, or everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind, and God saw that it was good. And God said, Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, Be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." And then if we would turn to chapter 2, and reading from verse 20. "And Adam gave names to all cattle, and to the fowl of the air, and to every beast of the field, but for Adam there was not found any helpmeet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs, and he closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, This is now bone of my bones, and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we have read from thy word this morning, knowing, as your prophet said, any man can open the book and read from it, but it takes your anointing upon the person, upon the mind, Father, to be able to understand what it's all about. And so, Father, we come humbly and reverently this morning in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, thanking you, Father, for this place which we have to worship. And, Lord, we just come and ask that you would be with us this morning as we break the bread of life. Father, help us to have a better understanding of our own place in your family, for we ask it humbly in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. Now this morning we will look at several paragraphs from Brother Branham's sermon, The Masterpiece. To begin, let's turn to paragraph 43, and we'll begin reading through paragraph 49. From paragraph 43, Brother Branham said, "I stood there and I looked at the monument, and I thought of the hours that the man must have put in making that. And they said how many years that it was, but it was a reflection to him, because it was a contribution of his great art, his great work of what he was doing. And when he finally was able to achieve it, it was so great. Now let us turn the page of Michelangelo and close the book. And let's open another book and read of the great sculptor, the Almighty, who before there was a world and before the foundations was laid, he had in his mind what he wanted. And he wanted to make man in his own image. He wanted to make something in reality of what was a vision to him, what was in his thinking. Now, to Michelangelo, that was an attribute of his thought, and God wanted to make a man after his image, the great sculptor. And he went to work on him. And we notice, as he brought up from the materials, the first perhaps was fishes, and then the birds, and then the creeping things upon the earth. And the many things that he brought, he finally, as he brewed being creator, he wasn't like a man now, a sculptor that would have to take something that had been created to hew an image. He was the sculptor of eternal things. He was a sculptor that could create and bring into existence that which he has in his mind to do, or otherwise he can make material what his attributes desired. And as he began to work upon creeping things, like upon the little animals upon the earth, and then he began to bring it into the form of something else higher, then finally he brought it into the larger animals, such as the lion, the tiger, the bear, Then he brought it into the life of maybe of monkeys and apes and so forth. Now, not an evolution, as we think that one came from any. That was a complete creation, God working in a pattern. But finally, there came forth upon the earth a perfection, and that was a man. And then he could see that man, that it looked like him. So now when he looked upon him, he was a reflection of what his creator was. God had now been able to achieve the things that he wanted, a man in his own image. And then I might say that when he made this man, there was something about him yet that didn't look just right, because that he was by himself. And that's how God had been, by himself. He was the eternal. And the man now in the image of God also existed on the earth by himself. So he must have struck a little blow over on his left side. And from there he took the piece that struck off of it, and he made him a helpmate, a wife. Then he wasn't by himself. He had somebody with him, and that's his great work. And he, as any sculptor, would take his masterpiece. Now, first he had a masterpiece of himself, but now he seen the masterpiece was lonesome like he was. So he divided the masterpiece by striking it in the side and brought forth a helpmate. Now, we see here where Brother Branham is speaking of the creation of man as a reflection of the vision of God that God had within himself. You know, that's a nice thought. But he also speaks of the flaw that the statue of Moses took in the knee, and he said that is what made that statue a masterpiece, was that flaw, is because of the flaw. And then in this morning's reading, we can see where God did the same thing to Adam. He struck his side, and from that wound in his side, he brought forth a bride for him. Now on the cross, we see another picture of this wound in the side. But this time it took place in the side of the second Adam, called Jesus. If you turn with me to John chapter 19, and reading from verse 29, we read, "Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar," John 19, verse 29, "and they filled a sponge with vinegar, and they put it upon hyssop, and they put it to his mouth. And when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, 'It is finished,' and he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. The Jews, therefore, because it was the preparation that the body should not remain until the cross upon the cross until the Sabbath, or on the Sabbath day, for the Sabbath day was an high day, they besought Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. Then came the soldiers and brake the legs of the first and the other which was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they brake not his legs. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came out blood and water. And he that saw it bare record, and his record is true. And he knoweth that he saith true, that you might believe. For these things were done, that the scripture should be fulfilled: A bone of him shall not be broken. And again another scripture saith, They shall look on him whom they have pierced." Now what I'm showing you this morning is that in the beginning, God put Adam into a deep coma-like sleep. And while he was in that condition, God wounded him in his side. And he took from that wound a part of Adam. And from that part, he brought forth a bride for Adam. Several thousand years went by, when now we see Jesus hanging on the cross. We see the story unfold where he finally could take no more, and he gave up the spirit and he died. Then they took a spear and they struck his side to make sure that he was dead. The others on the cross had their legs broken to speed up their death process, because without the legs to stand up, the body would just hang in that awful position, making it impossible to breathe. And once the legs were broken, the lungs would not be able to breathe in, and thus the person would suffocate and die quickly. But since they knew that Jesus had already died, they took a spear to his side to make sure that he was dead. And out came water mixed with blood, showing that he was truly dead on the cross. And thus there was no need to break his legs. So while he was in that state of temporary death, and I say temporary because we know that God raised him up from the dead, so like the first Adam in a great deep coma, so too the Son of God in a great deep sleep hung upon that cross. And while in that state, God took from his side something of Adam. The second Adam. He took his blood, and that blood flowed, that had flowed through his veins, giving life to that body, now spilt upon the ground, the earth, in which you and me, the material, the elements that make us up, came from. When the first Adam came awake after the surgery that God had performed on him and brought forth a wife for Adam, he responded by saying in Genesis 2 and verse 23, "This is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his side, and they shall be one flesh." Now I want you to notice that he looked to this one as being a part of himself, and he identified so much with her that he now said that she was bone of his bones and flesh of his flesh. In other words, as God said, by one spirit we are all baptized into one body. And thus we are so kin to Jesus that we are now bone of his bones and flesh of his flesh. It was a kinsman redeemer that redeemed us on that cross. Now you say, how then did the blood of Jesus Christ do this for us? Well, first we must understand that these bodies that we have are only a housing for the two-thirds spirit being that we are. And that is a big problem that we have because we spend more time fussing over the one-third, which is earthy anyways, and not eternal. And yet while doing so, we neglect the other two-thirds, which is the eternal part. But anyway, in the beginning, in Genesis chapter 1, God is said to have placed every seed that will ever be on the earth, in the earth. And God placed them there. In Genesis chapter 2, if you want to follow with me, and reading from verse 4, "These are the generations of the heavens and the earth when they were created, in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, and every plant of the field before it was in the earth." Well, where was it before it was in the earth? Where was it, Miguel? Before it was in the earth, where was every plant of the field? Whose mind?
In God's mind.
In God's mind. So here the seeds were already in God's mind. Then where did God place them? He placed them in the earth. Notice, "And every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew. For the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground. But there went up a mist from the earth, and watered the whole face of the ground. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of lives, and man became a living soul. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to sight, and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil." So notice that God placed them in the earth. And God took of the dust of the earth to form the body for man. Now, why is that so significant? Because the dust that makes up your body, the calcium, the potash, all the different elements, they come from the earth. And that great day when God took from the side of Jesus his blood, and when that blood sprinkled the earth, it sanctified your vessels. And we're washed by the washing of water today by the Word. But I want you to think about this. When they would take the lamb in the Old Testament, and they take it in, and each a lamb for a house, and they would take it, and they would bring it for atonement. They would cut the throat of that lamb and take the blood into a bowl, and they would take a little thing of hyssop and they would sprinkle on the people. Now, the people did not go and sit in a tub and immerse themselves completely to where every cell of the body was touched by that blood. But just a little sprinkling on the elements, the potash, the calcium in the body, was significant that they were cleansed all, that they were sanctified all. And so when God sprinkled the blood of the Lamb on the elements that makes up these bodies, out of that wound came forth a bride. Out of the very blood, and it's the blood that sanctifies. It's the blood that saves. It's the blood that redeems. It's the blood in which we're washed by the washing of water, by the Word. So we see that in verse 4, we're told that every seed was in the mind of God before it was in the earth. And then God placed them in the earth and then watered them. So if you have a body in the flesh that is made up of the elements, it was part of the earth in the beginning. And then when the waters of Noah washed the earth, your body was baptized in those waters. And when the blood of the Lamb was, of God was sprinkled upon the earth, when that spear plunged into his side, your body elements were sanctified by that atoning blood. Hallelujah. Now in the Old Testament, when the person would take the sacrificial lamb before the altar and it was, and they cut the blood and sprinkled that person, as I said, not every cell was touched by that blood. But when the body was touched, the whole was touched. And when the earth was touched, the elements in which come forth from the earth, your bodies and my bodies, were touched by that blood. And in Moses' day, when he had the people take the blood from the lamb, a lamb for every house, and they sprinkled that blood on the lintel of the doorpost. The lintel is the top and on the post, on the side. That represented the cross for each home. Now the house itself was not painted in the blood. Not every fiber of that house, not every element of that house. But by that sprinkling of the blood on the doorpost and on the lintel, when the angel of death passed by, it passed by every home. So we see a beautiful picture of the blood sprinkling the earth. The same earth from where we receive these mortal bodies and the elements that make up our bodies, giving expression to our two-thirds being, that is the eternal part of who we are. And so we see in the statue of Moses the flaw. The chip taken out of the knee is what makes the entire statue a masterpiece. Just as we see the flaw, that wound in the side of Jesus, which spilt his blood to the earth, is what makes perfect the imperfect. That blood is what makes the sinner a saint. That blood coming forth from that wound in his side is what makes the sick whole. For by his stripes we are healed. It is by the same blood that we are redeemed, which means that that which was in part is done away when that which is perfect is come. That same blood flowing from that wound is that which brought forth our salvation and our sanctification as it cleansed the earth from where our body elements would one day come. And it brought forth healing, for healing is in the atonement. And so by this wound, we see the great masterpiece of God, the Son of God, become the perfect reflection of the divine attributes of a loving Father. And all the divine attributes of Savior and Healer and Redeemer, etc., were brought forth in that one act in which the side of the second Adam was struck. And out from its very blood that once flowed through his veins, the very blood of God, it came down to the earth to sanctify our vessels, to sanctify the elements that make up our vessels. Oh, how Adam could say, "Bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh." And oh, how the second Adam could show himself to be the kinsman redeemer, because we are bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. The Apostle Paul tells us the same thing when he speaks of the relationship that a man ought to have with his wife. For it is the symbol of how that Christ himself so loved the church, Paul says, as his own flesh and his own blood. In closing, in Ephesians 5 and verse 25, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church, and he gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies.
Hallelujah.
He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever hated yet his own flesh, but nourish and cherisheth it, even as the Lord, the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones.
Hallelujah.
For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. So we see in this simple story that Brother Branham is bringing to our attention concerning this masterpiece, the statue of Moses, and how it became a masterpiece by the flaw taken from the side of the knee. Just as the great masterpiece of God would not have been complete had it not been for the wound in his side of the Prince of Life, and thus bringing forth from his own life blood, which flowed so freely through his veins. And then when it left him, it brought life to us.
Hallelujah.
Let's bow our heads in prayer.
Hallelujah.
Gracious Father, we're thankful for your word.
Hallelujah.
To see the very fact, Father, that the blood of your Son Jesus had upon us.
Yes, Lord.
To know, Father, that that blood is real, is genuine.
Hallelujah.
And it sanctified these elements that make up our bodies. Therefore, these bodies can be sanctified. They've already been sanctified. So help us to get out of the way, Father. Help us to just to step aside with our minds and not be so brash and not be so bold yet. Father, help us to be humble.
Amen.
Help us, Lord, to be ever reverent.
Amen.
And respectful of one another.
Yes.
And mostly of Thee. For we ask it humbly in the precious name of Your Son, Jesus Christ. And thank You for being with us this morning, Father.
Amen.
I can feel Your presence here among us. And we ask Your forgiveness, Lord, for our sinful nature. Help us to yield more to Your Spirit that is within us.
Yes.
For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Let's just sing that song, I Love Him. Brother Ron and Brother Steve, I need to see you immediately after service. the office to study the Word again. And also, if you would pray, we have a lot of activity taking place at the new church this week. Just pray that they'll get the walls up. They actually had them started on Wednesday, and then they didn't work Thursday, Friday, Saturday. So I'm just hoping that it's not too cold, that they'll get back out and finish. And they have the trusses already ready to go. We just need to have the walls up so we can put the trusses up. And once the trusses are up, we can get the roof on. Once the roof is on, we can start getting some of the interior things done. So anyway, we just need to really be praying that God will give us a good week of weather so we can get these things done. They can get it backfilled around. We can get the basement poured and the radiant heat in. Brother Brian Shipp's coming down this Wednesday, and we're going to plan to work all day and try to get that ready so that Thursday we can get it inspected, and then Friday we can get the guy to come in and do the basement floor. So just keep all these things in prayer. We do have a lot of activity going on this week, and also just you know, keep in prayer the neighbors and all that. Ravon already got one call wondering what's going on. So anyway, God bless you all, and we'll see you Wednesday.